Yo, hello everybody. So this, I think, technically first episode of 2024, which is just crazy. This is the first episode of 2024. I'm so sorry that this has to be the first episode of 2024. So recently, right, I have been working on a lot of really cool reviews. I've started writing a basic outline for a script of Monarch Legacy of Monsters, but I needed to wait for the show to finish to actually finish the script. Because I do actually have a lot of complex thoughts I want to say and convey about that show that I don't think one of my usual unscripted reviews will properly express. So I am going to be slowly rewatching the series, rewatching it for the first time, and then writing the script. I did take a lot of notes during each week, during each episode, so yeah, look forward to that. I promise you that is coming. I took a little break, you know, for the holidays. Not as nearly as long as some of my longer breaks have been before, but you know, I kind of needed a break, because between all the episodes that I had been doing with Dana Duck, there were some episodes that got unreleased because I didn't like how they sounded, and I really didn't like how they felt, just how the flow went throughout the whole episode. So this is just kind of like a, hey, sorry it took 16 days to even start working on the first episode of 2024, you know? So, yeah. So I'm not going to be going over any news, but, except one thing, which is real quick, but very, important. So, over the break that we took over here at Calling Monster Island, a very, very important person to the Godzilla community unfortunately passed away. And you probably have already heard about this from either Wikizilla or a different Godzilla YouTuber or a different podcaster, in my case. You know, if you're deep into Godzilla, you know that Haruo Nakajima unfortunately passed away in 2018, and even though I never had the chance to meet him, I heard he was just a wonderful person to be around and just such a great dude to hang around. So I was really saddened by that news. And news that I'm even more saddened by is that the passing of Kenpachiro Satsuma happened very recently. I think it was actually like a week before Christmas, I believe, which is just so sad that his family had to go through that close to Christmas. Yeah, it was December 16th. Very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate that had to happen. At the time of recording this, you know, I think a lot of people have had time to mourn his passing and time to, kind of come to terms with this. I also did not personally meet, Kenpachiro Satsuma. It was one of my bucket list people that I wanted to meet, because, you know, I'm a major Godzilla fan, and if I could ever meet even some of the people that bring one of my favorite characters of all time to life, you know, it just makes my day, you know? So, I was, you know, saddened by this information, but I have had time to mourn. So, you know, I don't want to dwell on this too much. You know, I know a lot of people experience death around the holidays and a lot of depression, and I know you know, the holiday season is kind of over at this point, but just in case there is anyone out there who's still feeling that way, I don't want to just put, like, more on you. So we're just going to have a quick moment of silence, and then I'm going to get into what today's episode is going to be like. So, yeah. Okay. So, without further ado, happy 2024, everybody. It sure was a year, that 2023. A lot of really cool and interesting kaiju projects were released this year. Or last year. I'm so not used to 2023 technically being last year. But we're not going to focus on that right now. Not for today, at least. What we're going to focus on today is something that literally has nothing to do with kaiju, and I just wanted to do this because I have nowhere else to, you know, get my opinions out. So, you're stuck with it. So. Yay! So, today, we're going to be doing another ranking. Yeah, so. Since you guys just, you know, seem to love these ranking videos just so much, which isn't a lie, actually. They do get fairly decent reviews, or not reviews, fairly decent, scores on Spotify and whatnot. I was thinking we'll do another one, so... this is just one that is very personal to me. You may or may not know this. I don't know if I've said anything about this on the podcast before, but I really enjoy, the Gorillaz, the virtual band from, you know, England. Those gents. You know, I really enjoy the band, and, I have for a while now. And so I kind of want to get my opinions out there. So, yeah, we're just going to be ranking every single, Gorillaz album today. I'm going to, you know, give a little diatribe about what I think about the album. And why I'm ranking it in the spot that I do. This isn't going to be like a typical number ranking. This is going to be, you know, S, A, B, C, D, F. And, you know, here's the deal. I didn't like what we did last time. I think if you're low enough to be a D, you're low enough to be an F. So actually, we're going to make this A, B, C, F. That's how we're gonna do it. So, snap in and, you know, let's do this. Okay, so, the first album we're going to be starting off with, you know, what better place to start? The Gorillaz debut album. So, if you know anything about the Gorillaz, you know that they like to feature a lot of guests on their music, right? And that has been a trend since the start of Gorillaz, you know, features, you know, guests, whatever you want to call them, have always been essential to Gorillaz music. So, why do I not like this album very much? Because this features a lot of some of my favorite artists, MF Doom, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, De La Soul. And yet, man, I really don't like this album very much. I'm actually, here, I'm gonna get this album. I have this album sitting by me on CD. I'm gonna get it real quick. I'm gonna read you the tracks. Actually, I'm gonna get all of my Gorillaz albums that I have on CD. I'll be back. Sorry, that was unprofessional. Hey, whoever said this episode was going to be good, right? Okay, anyways. So, I have the debut album here on CD. Funny enough, it's cracked right over the parental advisory sticker, so, you know, that's great. So, just going down the line, Rehash is, you know, an interesting track, to say the least. 5-4 is good, you know. It's probably one of the better tracks on the album. The lyric, she turned my dad on, just hearing Noodles sing that in particular is interesting, you know? It very, very interesting. Tomorrow Comes a Day, an actual song, so, you know, that's good. New Genius, parentheses brother. Okay, this... It's experimental, and I get that, but it's really not good. Sorry. Clint Eastwood, you know, everyone knows Clint Eastwood. It's the, I don't know if I'll get sued for this, but it's the, you know. I've got sunshine. That's not how the stupid song starts. It's, I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless. Yeah. That song. You've probably heard Clint Eastwood before. It's like the most recognizable song off this album. They got Man Research, parentheses Clapper. Experimental. Yeah. I love it. Anyway, no, I don't. I hate this song. Anyways, Punk. Number 8, Soundcheck. What am I supposed to say about these songs? Like, do you get the impression with this album? Like, it's just very experimental and weird. And, like, I like experimental and weird stuff, because there's a lot of albums that they've made that are experimental and weird, and they're wonderful. But this just doesn't gel with me. I don't know. Instead of going through the whole thing, I'm just gonna go through the rest of my standout tracks. Rock the House. I don't know, I think this song is underrated as hell, considering the song that's right after it is 19-2000. I think this song has a lot of solid jazz influences, and I don't know, the singing from Dell is just really good. Not hearing Damon at all this early in the entire, throughout the entire song, I mean, is just very odd, because he was one of the more vocal voices in the creation of the Gorillaz, because, you know, he is the creator of the Gorillaz. So I just find it very interesting that he wasn't really a presence on this album, but other than that, you know, again, 19-2000 is good. Dracula, I feel like that song gets so much praise because it was, like, one of the only good songs on G-Sides, and then you remember that it's on some versions of the self-titled album, and then it loses, like, all of its luster and all of its, you know, attractiveness, because it's just not that great. It really isn't. It really is not that great, but, you know. So, instead of being a highlight to, you know, G-Sides, it's just another song on the debut album. So, anyways, the Gorillaz debut album, this is going in C-tier, honestly. I know that's probably a really unpopular opinion, but that's just where I'm putting it, because I don't revisit this album very often, and, you know, the more and more that I listen to Gorillaz, the less and less I have a reason to come back to this album. So, that being said, the next album, G-Sides, is also going to be a C. So, a lot of this kind of compilation album is a lot of weird remixes of their other songs and some songs that were cut from the self-titled. Oh my god, it's damn near unlistenable nowadays. You know, if we want to relate this back to Godzilla, the original cover of G-Sides was Noodle holding a Godzilla toy, little Godzilla figure, like right in front of the cover. I know that's like been kind of retconned to be a Scully toy, but like, dude, it was originally Godzilla. You know, stop erasing history, bro. but yeah, I don't know. It sure is a contemporary piece to the self-titled. Okay, you know what's crazy, actually? The self-titled on Apple Music is considered an essential album, and Plastic Beach isn't. Like, dude, they had this on Strombo one time. Dude, they had this as an essential album on friggin' Strombo one time. You know what else they had as an essential album on Strombo one time? Friggin' Toxicity, dude. What? Like, okay, Toxicity? Yeah, that makes sense. It's probably System's greatest album. It's one of the greatest metal albums, probably of all time. But, like, dude, the Gorillaz self-titled? What do you mean? Okay, so. Sorry, that was way too long to cover, like, two albums that I don't even enjoy that much. Laika Come Home, F. It's a bunch of bad remixes of an album that I don't really care for, okay? The thing about Laika Come Home, there are certain elements that make up a Gorillaz album. First, the lore. Second, the artwork. And third, last but not least, of course, is the actual music itself. And dude, I kind of enjoy the lore between Laika Come Home of, you know, these weird space monkeys breaking into Kong Studios and remixing all the music and repackaging it as a new album. That's kind of interesting, that's kind of cool, especially since phases 1 and 2 didn't really have a lot going lore-wise, at least at first. But the execution is just so whatever with the remixes, and just, I can't listen to the whole thing without stopping a couple times to just take a breather, dude. Yeah. Next album. So, you guys probably know this one, even if you're not a Gorillaz fan. We got Demon Day. I almost said D-Day. Demon Days. So, Demon Days is probably, you know, the Gorillaz' most famous album of all time. You know, it's the, you know, for people who aren't Gorillaz fans, it's the album that Feel Good Inc. came off of. It, for people who are Gorillaz fans, it's either the greatest album of all time or one of the most overrated and overhyped albums that just the entire community won't shut up about. And for me, it's the latter, because while I do like this album, I think that there are far better things than this album. Far better Gorillaz projects than this album. And I'm not just saying that to be a contrarian. I do genuinely enjoy this album. I think it's a wonderful album. I'm not trying to say that it is not a wonderful album. Because, believe me, without Demon Days, we probably wouldn't be here right now talking about the Gorillaz, right? Because it's their most recognizable album of all time. The four heads with the, you know, the four heads in the little white squares with the Gorillaz. Demon Days, you know? It's, like, the most iconic album cover, like, ever, besides, like, the friggin' Wall and Dark Side of the Moon and, you know, any Pink Floyd album. That's a lie. Most Pink Floyd albums have, like, actual awful artwork, but whatever. I'm getting too off the rails here. here's the deal. A lot of people would say, oh, Demon Days, S tier, instant S tier. And you know what? Even though I can pretty much, like, list the entire track list to you, like, just from memory, that doesn't, like, I could probably do that with, like, the Now. That doesn't mean it's, like, the Greatest Girls album. Even though a lot of these songs are certified bangers, and the intro track uses music from one of my favorite horror movies. You know, I'm really not making a strong case here for why this isn't a great album, for why this isn't an S-tier album. I don't know. Just Last Living Souls, Kids with Guns, Oh Green World, Dirty Harry, Feel Good Inc., El Manana, Every Planet We Reach Is Dead, November Has Come, All Alone, White Light, Dare, Fire Cone Out of the Monkey's Head, Don't Get Lost in Heaven, Demon Days. They're all fantastic. Like, what am I supposed to say about these songs, okay? If you haven't heard Feel Good Inc., you're living under a rock. You haven't experienced nice things ever. And if you haven't seen this album artwork, then you don't exist yet. You know, maybe you're still inside the womb. Or maybe you're dead. I don't know. That was a really bad joke. I'm sorry. But Demon Days, just because I, one, don't have the personal attachment that a lot of people have to this album. I just think that there is a better album. There's two better ones, okay? I'm just being fair here. I'm just being true to my own opinions, and my opinions say Demon Days is going in the A tier. Not saying it's a bad album at all. I actually really like the features from De La Soul and MF Doom, again, always. The feature from Dennis... I almost said Den-S. The feature from Dennis Hopper on Fire Coming Out of the Monkey's Head is genuinely one of the most chilling narrations, like, I've ever heard. It's so good. You can't even understand. Dude, oh my lord. Okay. D-Sides. Okay, D-Sides, that's an instant B tier. I don't even have to think about that one. One. Okay, the artwork, pretty bad. It's just Pazuzu's face. It's kind of mid, you know? As the kids would say. It's literally just a picture of Pazuzu that says, not G-Sides, D-Sides over, like, his face. It's just kind of whatever. I don't really care for it. The music also consists of a ton of remixes and unreleased tracks from Demon Days. Now, here's something I will say about D-Sides. Oh my god, are the unreleased tracks so good. Dude, I mean, this is what doesn't make sense to me. These unreleased tracks are genuinely better than some of the tracks on Demon Days, and, like, Demon Days is Demon Days, so how do you even do that, dude? But the thing that makes even less sense to me is that the remixes on this are genuinely some of the worst remixes I've ever heard. Okay, I'm sorry, they're not that bad, but they're pretty bad. I don't like most of these. But, as I was saying, dude, the original tracks on here, the cut tracks, that's where it's at. People, Hong Kong, Rocket, Bill Murray, Murdoch Is God is really stupid, but it's kind of just a fun, like, bob your head track, and it kind of feels like a predecessor to White Light, which is one of my favorites off of Demon Days. Okay, that just tells you right there, I have terrible taste, so don't listen to me. If White Light is one of my favorite songs off of Demon Days. But yeah, D-Sides is going in B. Okay, next album, Plastic Beach. You know what, I think, for its time, it was really good, but, you know, it's been 14 years, you know, and I just think nowadays, it's still a friggin' S tier, dude. Did you really think I was gonna give Plastic Beach a bad rank here? Dude, Plastic Beach,
Oh my god!
Plastic Beach, literally the album that got me into Gorillaz. Oh my lord. This album has not only the best lore, one of the best pieces of album art, like, ever. Even though it's not nearly as iconic as Demon Days. It's iconic in its own right. Every single song on this album is so, so good. Like, the intro track, even, where I didn't really... Like, I thought it was cool that the intro track for Demon Days, like, sampled Dawn of the Dead. The orchestral intro from Plastic Beach is genuinely, to this day, one of the greatest pieces of orchestral music on a mainstream artist's album. It's so good. Welcome to the World of the Plastic Beach is an oddly mystique. Did I just say mystique? An oddly mysterious and kind of creepy song that just blends with Snoop Dogg's lyrics so well. White Flag is very surprisingly an amazing mix of this more hip-hop oriented kind of rap breakdown and lyrical flow with just the, like, grooviest Middle Eastern sounding orchestral backing, like, of all time. Rhinestone Eyes, you know, I think this song got ruined for a lot of people because of that stupid TikTok trend, but hey, guess what? Still an amazing song. Dude, Stylo? What do I even have to say about Stylo, dude? You've probably seen the music video if you're this far into, you know, me ranking the Gorillaz albums, but, you know, if you haven't, like, it's this awesome car chase playing over these weird synthy sounding kind of jazzy, I don't know, these jazzy synths. I don't know music very well, but I do know Gorillaz, and this album is amazing. Anyways, back to Stylo. Bruce Willis is in the music video, and he's shooting at the Gorillaz. This is... It's really just the peak of cinema. Super Fast Jellyfish. Dude, this track is, like, one of the most underappreciated bangers in the Gorillaz discography. Because, like, there would be so many times throughout my day where I just start going, super fast, I come in last, but just in time for breakfast. I'm sorry, you had to sit through my abysmal singing. It made me sound like Doug Walker, bro. Oh my god. Empire Ants. Oh lord, dude. Anytime this song comes on, I transcend into another dimension, dude. This, like, the whole first 2 minutes of it are just, like, the most calming, peaceful, you know, light little, some nice little drums, some nice little bass, little synths, very nice, very calming, very soothing. The vocals with, you know, 2D, aka, you know, Damon, just so calming and relaxing, puts you into this kind of false sense of security for when the second part of the song with Little Dragon starts up, and you're just blasted by these blaring synths. This instant wave of energy comes over you, and then you get the little memories marching on your little feet. Oh my god! And then you got Glitter Freeze, which, you know, even though it isn't the greatest song on the album, it's supposed to feel like a storm on this jarring, giant, you know, plastic beach, and that really works. I think it does go on for a little too long, but, you know, some would say White Light goes on for a little too long, so, you know. Some Kind of Nature. Oh my god. Jesus. This song. Lord almighty, it's so good. On Melancholy Hill, probably the best song anyone has ever produced of all time. Even though, you know, I personally think Empire Ants is a little bit better. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, this is the one everyone knows. This is the one where, like, this is the real one. But, like, yeah, dude, on Melancholy Hill, Okay, here's the deal. I'm gonna say something. It's gonna piss off a lot of people. And I just need you to take it with a grain of salt, okay? I know that these two songs have completely different energies and completely different vibes and whatever. On Melancholy Hill is arguably better than Feel Good Inc. Arguably. And here's why, okay? This song, every single time you listen to it, puts you in this mood, this kind of melancholic atmosphere with these uplifting vocals that just... they just bring tears to your eyes, dude. And, oh my lord, every time I hear this on the radio, although, you know, I don't use the radio, I just listen to music I like. Anytime I hear this song come on, I'm immediately singing along, you know? Just the, up on Melancholy Hill, there's a plastic beach, are you here with me? I'm gonna get this copyright claim by freaking Damon Albarn if I sing much more of this, but I can't help it, dude. This album just makes me want to sing. God, it's so good. Broken. Oh my lord, this song actually makes me cry right here. Broken. Dude, it's so good. It's so freaking good. And then we got Sweepstakes. People who don't like Sweepstakes, you're idiots. You're fools. You like November Has Come, but you don't like Sweepstakes. More money, more money. More money, more money. Like, dude. Oh my god. It's so good, dude. My lord. And then right after that, you got Plastic Beach. Dude. Those opening guitar riffs, the down. Bow, 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 bow. They send shivers down my spine every time I hear them. And then it's a Casio on a plastic beach. It's a Casio on a plastic beach. It's a styrofoam deep sea landfill. It's an automated computer switch. Almost flubbed the lyrics, but I got it. I stuck the landing. Dude, and then, oh my god, to binge right after that, oh my lord. This album is stacked. Cloud of Unknowing. Oh my god. It's so good. And then Pirate Jet. If I talk about these songs for much longer, we're gonna be here all day. Point is, Gorillaz Plastic Beach, S tier. Greatest album that they have ever produced. Probably will ever produce. It's peak, bro. It's peak. S for Stylo, you know? I cannot overstate this enough, I cannot understate this. Gorillaz Plastic Beach is so criminally underrated. Okay, I won't say that because a lot of people have sung the praises of why this album is so good, but like, Apple Music sure doesn't. They list the frickin' debut album as one of the essentials when Gorillaz Plastic Beach should be higher, me personally. I don't know. I think it's their greatest album, so maybe I'm a contrarian. Kill me, okay? I don't care. Not that I don't care if you kill me. I would very much like to continue being alive, please. But, you know, I don't care if you disagree with me, so... Okay, next album, The Fall. Jesus Christ, the sharpest decline we could probably have. F. Okay, now, I know, this was a very personal album for Damon to make. This took a lot of, you know, effort from him behind the scenes. This was recorded mostly on an iPad while on tour with a Plastic Beach tour. And it was mainly just made to express his feelings of that tour. So it's not like a studio album or anything, so it doesn't totally count. But, like, also, it has one of the coolest backstories to being an actual Gorillaz album. And, like, dude, the music on this album sucks because barely any of it is actual music. I have gotten through this whole thing once before, and I've gotten about halfway through it, like, three other times, and I just had to stop. I was like, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. So, I don't really have to talk nearly as much about that album, because it's lower ranked, and I kind of just explained why. Now, an album I do have to talk for a little bit about is Humans. That was a terrible voice crack. I said, and Humans is Humans. Humans is the 2017 album, the actual follow-up to Plastic Beach. At this point, it had been 7 years since the Gorillaz had released an album. The anticipation was in the air, you know? People were like, have the Gorillaz broken up? Is it over? It's over, isn't it over? Damn it, now I just exposed myself as a Steven Universe fan. You know what? You could be a fan of worse things, honestly. You could like Hell of a Boss, and then you'd be an actual cretin. So, anyways. Humans. This is one I gotta talk about a little bit before I get on this diatribe here. So, as much hate as this album gets, I agree with a lot of it. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to come out and be honest with you. I think this is one of the Gorillaz' most generic albums. I think at a time full of just complete mediocrity from common pop artists, the Gorillaz just kind of blended in with all that stuff that was being made in 2017. 2017 was a bad year for music, man. We got friggin' Delicate? Is that? No, Reputations. That's what it's called. Not Delicate, that's a song. Anyways, we got Reputations by Taylor Swift. Oh my god, it's like one of her lowest ranked albums, both critically and just by her fans. By Swifties, dude! By friggin' Swifties, who will, like, bow down to this woman who doesn't even know they exist. Okay? And I will admit, that one song, I can't even remember the name of the song, because the album was so forgettable. Look What You Made Me Do? That's a genuine banger. I'm talking about Gorillaz here. Why am I going off about Taylor? Okay, we can make a Taylor Swift ranking some other day. Because I guarantee you, I'm going to get bored, and I'm going to be like, I want to talk about music again. And that'll probably happen. Not today, though. Okay, so. Humans, right? There are standouts, right? There are standouts. Hallelujah Money. Right there. I know not everyone loves that song, but, like, dude, Hallelujah Money is like one of my guilty pleasures in Gorillaz music, where I'm just like, okay, I don't know why I like this, but I really do. It vibes. It kicks, man. It's quite groovy, as Ash Williams would say. She's My Caller with Kali Uchis. You put Kali Uchis on anything, and I'm gonna like it, you know? See You Again with Tyler, the Creator. Dude, if it wasn't for that verse with Callie, I probably wouldn't like that song nearly as much as I do. But that, just that friggin', can I get a kiss? And can you make it last forever? Like, it's so good. Her voice is so unique. She's like one of the few musicians where, like, I can pick her voice out in, like, a crowd, you know? That's a really good thing to have. Although, if you're Tyler, then, you know, you don't like being able to recognize your voice because, you know. I love that man so much. You know, I need to do more of these ranking videos with music because, dude, I have so much to say about so many different artists. There's just, like, I have no platform to vent all of my frustrations with the music industry because, dude, I'm a goddamn Godzilla podcast, you know? Like, you're not coming here to hear me talk about music. But I feel like the few of you who stick with me, you know, you're gonna have a great time. So, I'm talking about humans here. I'm sorry, dude. Also, when I said 2017 was a bad year for music, I completely forgot that Flower Boy came out that year. What the hell was I talking about? That's like the best Tyler the Creator album of all time. Besides Call Me If You Get Lost, because that album is a certified banger, dude. I love that album. Okay. Jesus Christ, why am I getting so offhand? Off task. Not offhand. Whoops. Okay. Anyways, humans. I don't know why I don't want to talk about this album. This is a daunting album, because there's one side of the fandom that's just like, this album is kind of terrible. And there's one side of the fandom that's like, in defense, it was supposed to come out earlier. It's like, that's always their defense. It's always like, well, this was written to be theoretically a party at the end of the world if Donald Trump theoretically got elected in the election. And then it came out in 2017 and he was already elected, and they were like, that was our bad, guys. That was, you know, sorry. Our fault. All these, you know, humans defenders, they always use the same defense. I hate that, like, one of their best music videos, too, the Spirit House music video, God, what is the song called? I can't think of it all of a sudden. The Spirit House music video, the music video for Saturn's Bars. I knew that the whole time. The music video for Saturn's Bars is genuinely, like, one of my favorite Gorillaz music videos, but I hate that song. I hate that song so much. Just the repetitiveness of it, I think, is what really kills it. The "All My Life" makes me want to just take a drill bit and just, like, go up to Popcan and just, like, drill it into his vocal cords so that he can't poison my ears anymore. Jeez, and the thing is, too, when Damon is singing, it's not, like, that terrible. Because he's just, you know, it's Damon, so he's being a very soft singer. He's very soft-spoken, too. So he's just singing very softly, you know. You can barely understand what he's saying because he's, you know, he's talking in one of those, like, muffler things that he used for Feel Good Inc. so that it sounds like he is whispering the whole song. So he's like, "I've been trying to show home. It's how bad it is." It's like, dude, I can't understand what you're saying. Could you please, like, I don't know, master your song a little bit better? So that all I hear isn't "All My Life!" It sucks, too, because that was one of the, like, big singles that came out for that. But, you know, it is a good song off this album, actually. Andromeda, which, you know, unfortunate that it had to be off of this album, but it's good, you know. As I said, Hallelujah Money, She's My Caller. I'm trying to think of more tracks off of this, because there's really not, like, a ton. Oh, Strobe Light's good. I like Strobe Light. Oh, Charger, literally just because of the frickin' live event thing and why they won't perform that live anymore is just really funny. Okay, this is a stupid one, but Sex Murder Party is just such a funny song. And We Got the Powers, you know, it's pretty good. Yeah, by the way, I'm not counting, like, deluxe editions for this entire ranking, because I don't really like deluxe editions. However, Humans Deluxe, I feel like, who even listens to Humans anymore? Just, like, the base album, I feel like most people listen to Humans Deluxe, because it's what's readily available on streaming. But, yeah. Also, I will say, the album cover is, like, I don't know. I like the album cover. It's kind of cool. I wish that, like, for the CD, though, it wasn't just, like, there's four different versions of the CD that had, like, one face of each of the Gorillaz members on it, because God knows I'm gonna collect every all four versions, and that's what it was designed for. I'm glad that the vinyl version is just literally, like, their four faces stylized like, you know, Demon Days was. But yeah, humans... Okay, where do I want to rank this? So, I'm thinking low B. Like, anchoring on C. No, you know what? C. It's in front of G-Sides, but it's below the debut album. Solely for the fact that the debut album has Rock the House and Rehash. Or not Rehash, 5-4. But other than that, I feel like these two are kind of interchangeable. So yeah, Humans is going in C tier. Next album, we got The Now Now, which is actually, it's an interesting album. It was a very, I actually listened to this today, the whole way through. It's a very melancholic, experience. I feel like the entire album maintains a very consistent tone that, while yes, I do like what they were doing with it, is really, really kind of boring at times, just because it feels like it repeats the same kind of messaging, the same kind of like melancholic chords are felt throughout most of the album, and I don't think the production is all too enamoring. It's certainly a good album. I enjoy it more than Humans, and more than the debut album. There's just, like, where I feel like a lot of Gorillaz songs, even if they're not intended for you to dance to them, you could dance to them. With a lot of the Now Now songs, you're gonna be dancing like an emo kid in 2005, just like bobbing your head back and forth and smoking a cigarette every 2 seconds. But there are some standouts on this album. For instance, literally the first three songs, Humility, Trans, and Hollywood, are so good. I love all three of these songs. Humility, particularly the music video, is really cool because it's got Jack Black in it. I don't really know where I was going with that. It's just, the music video has Jack Black, and I love that man. Tenacious D, we need to do a ranking for Tenacious D, too, because I love that band. also, interesting thing, the album, most of the album features, Ace from the Powerpuff Girls on, bass guitar instead of, or on the guitar instead of Murdoch, because Murdoch was in prison, which is just kind of funny, you know, that's just charming. So yeah, Trans, dude, I, not only do I, like, love this song so much, and can sing, like, pretty much the entire first verse just from memory, the music video for this is just so enamoring. And it's an odd kind of predecessor to, I feel like the Pink Phantom music video off of Song Machine. And it's just it's a really cool little song. And if you didn't believe me, a sleigh! Yourself tonight while you're in your bed. Assimilate the dopamine passing through your head. So when you get back on a Saturday night and the roof is caving in, do you look like me? Do you feel like me? Do you turn into your effigy? Do you dance like this? Yeah, I'm not even trying to do the high notes that Damon does. Nuh-uh. No, sir. No, thank you. All this being said, though, the album art is kind of trash. It's just like a distorted picture of 2D playing a one-string guitar. Which, first off, is that a coming out of their Shells tour reference? And two, I kind of would have preferred if it was not distorted, because They have, like, the not distorted art. Like, it's a thing. The not distorted art looks really good. It's a bit basic, but, like, okay. So? Some could say the Demon Days artwork is a bit basic. Doesn't mean it's not good. Oh, you know what? Make that the first, like, five songs. Humility, Trans, Hollywood, Kansas, and Sorcerers. I love all those songs. First six. Idaho's good. Lake Zurich is whatever. Magic City. I like Magic City. Fireflies is okay. 1% is okay. Sokai is okay. I could take or leave most of the second half of this album, but the first half is really good. So, I am going to put the Now in a solid B tier. Just a little bit below D sides, but not trying to say I don't love this album. So, the next thing up on the docket. This is gonna make a lot of people mad, and I'm just gonna apologize quickly. The next thing up on the docket is Song Machine Season 1. And you know, I think, here's the deal. For what they could do at the time, you know, it was the dawn of COVID at the time. For the time and, you know, for what they could do, I think, you know, it's an S tier. I tried to trick you again. And you fell for it. I think, I don't know, maybe. Dude, this album is so good. I can't even relate to you how good this album is, okay? And actually, dude, legit, I bought the deluxe version on Amazon because I got an Amazon gift card for Christmas, and I was like, hey, you know what? I don't have Song Machine. Like, it just, I don't own it physically. And I saw that the deluxe edition was like a couple dollars more, and I was like, you know what? Sure. Bet. I'm buying that. Which, you know, the deluxe tracks, like, are fine. That isn't gonna affect my ranking of this album. But, you know, nonetheless, they are there if you want to listen to them. Me personally, I'm good. And just all the art for this album is so good. Just, like, oh my god. I love how all of the members look in this... Murdoch looks so creepy and weird throughout the whole thing. 2D is just, he's transitioning from, you know, that kind of, you know, melancholic loser that we knew throughout the early days of Gorillaz to this more kind of laid back kind of dummy. But he's not, spoilers for the next few rankings, he's not a complete idiot like in further albums. He's just, you know, kind of there. He's laid back, but like after going through the Now, he just seems a lot more depressed a lot of times. But he is like very energetic when he's with his friends, you know, when he's with the other band members. Russell, you know, he gets literally nothing to do, like always. And Noodle, she is also there. A lot of this is very Murdoch-centric, and I'm completely fine with that. I'm a Murdoch? I'm a Murdoch stan all day, every day, bro. But, yeah. What more can I say about this album that hasn't been said? Dude, I'm just gonna read you some of the I'm just gonna read you the track list for the main album. And I don't even need the back of the box, because I know this, like, fully, like, I just know this. Okay, first off, we got Strange Times, featuring Robert Smith of The Cure. Oh my lord. This song has grown on me so much. I used to, like, not even like it when I first listened to the album. I was like, eh, it's a little too weird for me. I literally cannot get enough of this song recently. It's so good. 2, Value of the Pagans, featuring Beck. Oh my lord. As soon as they hit you with that first little synth, you're hooked. Also, the video was made in GTA, which is just so cool. 3, The Lost Chord. Another one where, like, the first time through, I was like, it's a little boring, it's a little slow. I can't get enough of this song recently. Just, like, the... You know, that like, opening kind of just synth. And then just the... Boop, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, The Lost Chord. I can't do it because I'm not a keyboard, but you know, you get my point. Very good song. 4, best song in the album right here. Pac-Man featuring featuring Schoolboy Q. Oh lord, this song is so good. It's so good. Literally, like, I cannot even tell you. The first time I listened to this album, I genuinely thought this was, like, my favorite Gorillaz album of all time, just because when I first listened to Pac-Man, I was, like, in a different dimension. Like, not the same dimension that Empire Ants brought me to, but, like, a different dimension nonetheless, you know? I was just transcending space and time from how groovy this song was. Anyways, next song, Chalk Tablet Towers. This song, God, it's not as good as the rest of the album, but, like, it runs laps around, like, any song off of the Now Now, or any song off of, like, the debut album. Okay, maybe not Clint Eastwood, but, like, you know, you get my point. Oh my lord! And then we got the Pink Phantom, just this slow, melancholic little piano ditty with Sir Elton John. Oh my god. Oh my god. They got Elton John for this song. Do you even, like, I don't think most people understand. That guy is a legend. Like, dude. They got a night to sing on their song. Like, you think I could ever get a knight to star on the podcast? Hell no. Then, directly after the Pink Phantom, we got Aries. Okay, I do actually need to check the back of the box because I don't remember the feature for this. Featuring Peter Hook and Georgia. Yes. Yes. Dude, oh my lord, such a good song. Just that like opening guitar riff and then the Aries and then Jesus, dude, it's so okay. Then we got Friday 13th featuring Octavian. Okay, so everything good that I said about Saturn's Bars with Popcorn. That's basically what Friday 13th is. It's like Octavian kind of has a similar vocal style to Popcorn, but like he isn't the most annoying human being of all time who just goes on my life every 2 seconds. So this song is actually good, you know, which, you know, I think humans should, you know, really learn a lesson from. if only humans didn't come out oh my god. It has been 7 years since Humans released, and it's been 4 years since this released, and oh my god, okay. Anyways. 9, Dead Butterflies featuring Kano and Roxanne Arias. I'm not sure. Dude. it feels like a cut song off of the Now, which you would think, oh, but you just said that, you know, all these other songs run laps around the Now. Yeah, and I think if this song was on the Now, it would run laps around its own album. It's so sad and slow, but it works so well. Okay, and then, oh my god, I can't even believe they made this song. Desolé, featuring, I can't pronounce her name, Fatoumata Diawara, I think is how you pronounce that. I'm not sure. I'm so sorry. I butchered your name. I know for a fact I did. I'm so sorry. Dude, Desolé, straight up banger. Like, that is the song that you get me up to in the morning. You know, like you, I don't know why, but theoretically, if you were trying to wake me up in the morning, just like turn on Desolé, like, you know, crank up the stereo and just, I'm out of bed, bro. I'm dancing to Desolé. And then after that song's over, I'm dancing to Momentary Bliss featuring Slow Thai and the Gang, or Slow Thai and Slaves, my bad. Dude, oh my lord, this entire album is nothing but bangers after bangers. And again, the deluxe tracks, they are there. I haven't listened to all of them, but I have listened to Opium and MLS. They're alright. You know. If they feel tacked on, but they're not going to affect my ranking of the album, so... I've been talking about this one album for 10 minutes now. It's an S tier. Moving on. Next song, or not next album, we have the Meanwhile EP, which released in, I believe, 2021. This was such a weird release, because just out of the middle of nowhere, Damon was like, oh yeah, 2021. Out of the middle of nowhere, Damon was just like, oh yeah, you're not getting a new album, but here's a short little EP of three songs that aren't very good. I don't know. It's not bad enough to be F tier, but like, it's not very good. I like that the single cover is of Kong Studios. That's cool, you know? And Deja Vu is a good song. I will say that. Deja Vu is a good song. C tier. Below G-sides, even. Which is just, you know, pathetic to say. Something's below G-sides. Lord almighty. Oh, I should also mention Song Machine Radio with the Gorillaz, which came out around the time of Song Machine, you know? It was, it was really cool. So, basically, it was a four-episode radio show released on Apple Music that was meant to drum up hype for the release of Song Machine. And so, basically, each week, you'd have a new host, which would be one of the four Gorillaz members. Episode 1 was 2D, episode 2 was Russell, episode 3 was Noodle, and episode 4 was my boy Murdoch. And just each episode they would interview one of the guests who worked on, you know, the album. And then you would have, you know, just some various music, maybe some influences of Gorillaz, maybe some people that Gorillaz influenced, maybe just some personal picks from the host of the day, and, you know, little interviews with the guests of Song Machine. It was just a really cool way to drum up hype for Song Machine, just even more proof that they really had faith in this album, and I just really like that. So, yeah. If Song Machine Radio could be ranked as its own album, it would probably be like an A, because genuinely a lot of the songs they played on there were pretty good. And I like this little stuff. So, yeah. Sorry. More blabbering about how much I love Song Machine. Meanwhile, see. And now, the final album. The one that you've maybe all been waiting for. On Cracker Island, it was born to the Collective of Dawn. It's going straight to C tier, because this is pretty bad. Okay, I'm sorry. I really am, but I don't see it. A lot, like I see a lot of people that are like, okay, this album is, you know, not nothing, not anything special. It's a lot of generic pop songs, and it's just really boring. I agree with that. And then I see a lot of people who are like, in defense, and I'm like, no, you pulled this crap with humans, you're not doing it with this, okay? This is boring, okay? This is really boring. Besides, like, four songs, I can't remember the lyrics to, like, any of these. We got Cracker Island featuring Thundercat. Oh my god. Certified banger. Wonderful. Now, this may be misleading to you, as I am putting this album in C tier. But, I assure you, there is more. Oil featuring Stevie Nicks. One of the most boring songs to ever feature Stevie Nicks ever. I can't remember a single lyric from this song, and Stevie Nicks was on this? Since when? They use her as backing vocals, and not like, you know, recognizable backing vocals, just like any old backing vocalist. Like, no, Stevie Nicks needs her own verse, you know? The Tired Influencer. Just, this song is so petty. It's so petty. And I don't even know who it's being petty to. Because Damon is, like, one of the most, like, anti-conformist people in British music. And it's just so, like, it seems so fake for a person who started a band genuinely because he hated fake people. What do you mean? What do you mean? Okay, but Silent Running, I'm not even gonna lie, that is a good song. It feels like I've been silent running through the infinite pages and scrolled out searching for a new world. Drifting the sunrise, I'm silent running, run, running, run, run. Although I will say, the piano version on the deluxe version of this album, much better. I'm just saying. New Gold. Okay, here's the deal. First half of the song, I can tolerate. At times, I even, you know, do a little the grooves. You know, do a little the head nods, you know, the kind of, oh, okay. It's kind of hitting. Second verse. Shut up! Better to pull out the Linkin Park. Shut up! Shut up! Oh my god, this song is infuriating. Just as soon as he says anything in the second verse, I'm just like, shut up. Please, shut up. I dare you. Be quiet for 2 seconds. Tame Impala also, surprisingly, isn't like the most annoying human being of all time on this song, which, like, he usually is. Okay, yeah, New Gold is really nothing special. It's one of the most generic pop songs off of this album, full of generic pop songs, so that just lets you know. Baby Queen. The other song that I like on this album. It's slow, it's melodic, you know? I can, you know, kind of sway my head back and forth to it, you know, just the, I met the princess from Thailand again. She had grown up into a queen. I don't remember the rest of this song, so now I'm gonna quit. Okay, yeah. But this song is like an actual banger. I remember I was playing FIFA with my friend one time, and I heard this song, and I was like, that's a Gorillaz song. And I was like, dude, let's freaking go. FIFA's got Gorillaz. Here's the deal. I don't even like soccer, but that made me want to play FIFA more because, you know, Gorillaz. Yeah, it's a good song. Those are the three on the album that I like. Cracker Island, Silent Running, and Baby Queen. Like, genuinely. Tarantula? Huh? What was this song? I don't even remember this song from my listen to it. Tormenta featuring Bad Bunny. Okay. Okay. This is where I draw the line, Damon. This is where I draw the line! I don't really have a problem with Bad Bunny, but I do. I really don't like this man. Not him as a person. I bet he's, you know, I don't know. he's a modern pop musician. He's probably not that great a person, but, you know, whatever. I don't hate this song because of him. I hate the song because of how little effort Damon puts in to even trying to sound like the lead singer of this band. Because you know what? Almost this entire song is in Spanish. Okay? I'm not trying... I'm not racist, right? Like, I'm not saying, get this Spanish-speaking boy out my British song. You know? Like, no. I'm not trying to say that. What I'm trying to say is, this is supposed to be a feature, not a, hey, Bad Bunny, you want to write a song for me and then put it on my album and then credit you as a feature? Like, dude, just please stop. Please stop, Damon. Put effort into your songs. I'm sorry, that sounds so mean. Skinny Ape. Oh, Lord. Skinny Ape. I don't think... Can I even... I don't think I could sit through this one a second time. This was just the most boring, draining song off of this entire album. Possession Island featuring Beck. Dude, remember how much I was like, oh, yeah, Valley of the Pagans with Beck? Dude, one of the best Gorillaz songs. And then this, I'm like... I don't even remember the breakdown from this song. Like, what? This is actually a time where I will include the, you know, deluxe edition tracks. That's what I was trying to say. Because everyone says, oh, the deluxe edition tracks. Why were these left off the album? Blah, blah, blah. Captain Chicken, Controlla, and Crocodillas. Okay, I agree. Why were these left off the album? These are, like, actual songs. With actual people working on them. Dude, Del the Funky Homo Sapien worked on Captain Chicken, and De La Soul worked on Crocodillas. What do you mean these were cut from the album, boy? And also, Controlla has some guy named MC Bin Laden featuring on them? Like, what? Just from the name alone, I love this guy. Also, the deluxe edition features the aforementioned piano version of Silent Running, which, amazing. And it has a remix of New Gold, which kind of speeds it up in certain places, kind of adds some more, you know, like, some more dance beats to it in the middle. And it makes it an actual good song, so there you go. Overall, though, not counting the deluxe edition, it's lower than G-Sides. I don't like this album. I really don't like this album, actually. I also hate this goddamn artwork. What is this? So you got 2D going, this is an audio medium, so you can't see what I'm doing, but he's holding like his middle finger and his ring finger together, and then he's extending his index and his pinky finger outwards, and then he's like taking his thumb, sticking it like directly out, and then raising his hand up and placing his other hand on his chest, and then he's like looking to the sky almost, but not like straight up, just like kind of one of those, like, you know, little head tilt upwards, and he's like opening his mouth is agape the whole time, and he's got this expression on his face like he's going, what are you, a goddamn Kung Fu Panda character? God, close your stupid mouth. Jesus. Then you got Noodle in, like, genuinely just one of her best outfits that Jamie has ever given her. Dude, she's got a Helter Skelter, like, tank top on. That's cool, man. I don't know if she's actually referencing Charles Manson or if she's referencing the song Helter Skelter. You know, I was gonna say either way that's cool as a joke, but I don't want people to get offended, so, you know. If it's referencing the song, that's pretty cool. If you're referencing, you know, the Charles Manson, that's, you know. People died, you know, that's a little insensitive. I don't know, I like the all pink aesthetic, but, like, Jesus, they're just posing in front of this, like, weird random building, and it's all, like, they're animated, and then they're just in a real-life picture with a Pazuzu statue. Like, what is this? I hate this. I hate this so much. They're just standing in front of some random barn, and then there's a Pazuzu statue, and then they're... This is actually kind of funny. Russell has, like, a string tied around Murdoch's waist, and he's, like, elevating him up so that he looks like he's Jesus ascending into heaven, even though, like, Murdoch is the friggin' Antichrist, if he was anyone, so, you know. Yeah, Cracker Island, C. Alright. I am officially drained of all energy, and I bet you are drained of hearing me talk about a band for, like, what, an hour and a half? I haven't even checked the time in a while. An hour 15 minutes. Wowie zowie. Yeah. So, I bet you're pretty tired of listening to me talk about the Gorillaz. So, I am gonna let y'all go, and, hope you have a wonderful, you know, day, evening, night, morning, whenever you're listening to this. You know, have a great time. I'm gonna go probably sleep. Yeah. I was gonna say, I'm gonna be productive, and I'm gonna work on the script. Y'all know I ain't doing that this late. Alright, everybody. I was gonna say goodnight, but, like, you know, you're probably not going to sleep right now, so just goodbye. Be good people.